Now, I'm delighted once more to be joined by Brian Hughes, who's the consultant solicitor at Sheffield-based Rona Hughes. So welcome back to Phoenix FM, Brian.
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm pleased to be here.
I'm delighted to have you along. I can tell you now, today you're going to be tackling the potentially fraught area of shared drives. So perhaps you could start by explaining the rationale behind the shared drives in the first place.
Well, first off, it's important to note that there are two sorts of shared drive, but in each case, a right of way over them is a right of continuous movement. It's not a right to park on them. Where a car stops long enough for a passenger to get out or take their shopping indoors is a grey area, and one which, so far as I'm aware, has never been argued in court. The first sort of shared drive is where half a drive belongs to one owner and the other half belongs to the other owner. In this case, each has a right of way over the half owned by the other person. The other sort is where the land under the shared drive is part of one property, with the owner of the other property just having a right of way over it. Now, the first sort of shared drive dates back to the 1950s and 1960s, when developers wanted to extract as much profit from building an estate as possible and could get away with it. If they could make two house owners share one drive and put the garages at the back of each house or bungalow instead of alongside it, they would. In general, this arrangement worked well for the original developers, and most house owners ever since have been happy with it. They put their cars in their garages at night and share the cost of maintaining the joint drive.
Now, presumably, if everyone plays by the rules, that's no problem. But even if you or your neighbour play fairly, of course, there's no guarantee that a change of ownership of all of the properties could change all of that, could it not?
Well, indeed, that is the case. And I can give you an example. The wife of an elderly blind client regularly drove the family car, stopping outside the side front door of their bungalow to enable her to help her blind husband get out and take him up the steps to the front door. But the wife of the couple in the other bungalow would complain that even though she was not going anywhere, the deed stated there was a right of continuous passage only, which prevented anyone from blocking her garage, even momentarily, at any time. Technically speaking, she was, of course, correct, and any legal challenge would have proved very expensive. I advise my clients that for the sake of their peace of mind, they should move, which they did. However, when she later attempted to build a wall down the centre of the drive...
She is real awkward, isn't she?
Yeah, she effectively crossed the line.
Yeah.
My client's successor, who just happened to be a metropolitan, an inspector in the Metropolitan Police, got an injunction against her. And when the awful neighbour...
But she didn't see that coming.
No, she didn't. No, yeah. And when the awful neighbour did nothing to remove the wall, got a judge to imprison her until she agreed to purge her contempt. It was only after 3 weeks in prison that she eventually capitulated. It was reported that her husband apparently looked happier during the period of her incarceration than he had for a long time.
I'm not surprised, judging what she sounds like. Now, here's one for you. I read one about a man who was living in a house with a shared driveway, but because he demolished his garage at the rear of his property, his neighbour then turned around and said, oh, well, OK, that drive is mine alone, and then regularly parks on it. So what would happen then?
Well, that's not true, is it? The titles of the two properties will undoubtedly be registered at the land registry, and it would be sensible to obtain copies of both at a combined cost of £12 for the two titles and the file plans showing the properties. Once, as I suspect, it's established that half the land under the right-of-way belongs to one neighbour, I would advise the man to send his neighbour copies of both titles, at the same time telling him that if he ever wants to park on the shared drive, he only has to ask permission to do so. The neighbour may have been under a genuine misapprehension as to ownership, and the fact that a shared drive remains a shared right of way, whether it's used or not. If the neighbour doesn't then ask for permission, get a solicitor to write a letter saying that the neighbour will be personally responsible for all legal costs arising out of any activity on his part that restricts access over the right-of-way they share. costly court proceedings which cause immense stress between neighbours and long-term animosity should be considered a last resort. To give you another example, one couple owned a private drive, but their next-door neighbour had a right-of-way over and along it. So when the owner of the drive wanted to build a high brick wall along their boundary, the other neighbours objected on the basis that their access would be restricted to just a small space at one end. After both parties had spent a small fortune in legal fees, the objector won the case based on the words over and along. So it was over and along the whole drive. The other person couldn't build the brick wall.
I was just going to say there, one of the things you were saying just now before we went on air was that even if you win the case and even if court costs are awarded for you, that you would still only get a proportion of those court costs. So it's going to cost you a fortune, whatever you do, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, normally speaking, courts only allow you about two-thirds of your costs.
Mm.
You finish up paying about a third.
Which is not going to be cheap either way.
No way. No, it's not going to be cheap. So
it'd be stupid to pursue it in that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, as usual, Brian, you've started us thinking about all the possible problems, but perhaps you could leave us with one nugget of great advice.
Well, the moral is always this. If you're a house owner or owner of a right-of-way, get a solicitor to check what the law is before you embark on anything that restricts or affects the rights of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Consider whether it's better to compromise or devise an alternative mediated course of action than waste thousands of pounds on litigation. You'll not necessarily recover all your costs if you win, as I've just said.
Mm.
No solicitor worth his salt should push a client into a situation where he or she is likely to spend a fortune and finish up no better off. Be reasonable, use your common sense before making a difficult situation worse. Because if you are reasonable and the other person is bloody-minded, the bloody-minded one usually comes off worse in the end. Courts don't like bloody-minded people.
But they still charge you, or you still get some costs anyway.
You might, yeah.
Yeah, so there you are. Okay, Brian. In fact, we're going to get you coming back early in the new year, and you're going to be talking about a similar subject, are you not?
Yes, I'll talk to you about boundaries. They're a fertile source of argument between neighbours.
I bet they are. All right, we look forward to that. Thanks very much indeed.
Pleasure.